Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll get all your names eventually. You guys hearing me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, so today it's part three concerning what we've been teaching on in the last almost a month now concerning prayer, concerning faith, all these different things like that, and the will of God, walking in our sonship, walking by faith, and we're going to touch a lot of those things. But today, the key topic today is, I don't know if you can see that. Can you see that? Which one is it?
Yes.
The knowledge of God.
The knowledge of God.
The knowledge of God. So, revelation knowledge. Yes. Revelation knowledge. Knowledge revealed by and from God to and for you. Okay?
Yes.
All right. So, the first thing I want to say here in the introduction to this is, number one, is that revelation knowledge is knowledge that is revealed to us, each one of us, by the Spirit who indwells each one of us. So the Holy Spirit dwells within, I'm going to read the whole thing here. Also, He reveals knowledge to us through the sown word, the word that is sown in our lives. And we're going to touch on that in the next couple of weeks. Concerning seeds, we know that the Word of God has been given to us in seed form, and those seeds reveals images. There's images from those seeds which are carriers of His knowledge. Okay? So, carriers of His knowledge regarding His will. Regarding His will for each one of us. For each one of us. Did you notice I got a Cameroon hat? I couldn't find one on Kenya yet. Anyhow. Yeah. So, which I call knowledge from God or of God in seed form, which we will look at eventually in the parables of the sower. We're going to look at that in a couple weeks from now. All right?
Amen.
So that's number one. Amen. So let's look at, everybody's got your Bibles there. Let's look at Luke 8:11. Luke 8:11. We're just going to read it real quickly because we've got people on live stream also, and hopefully they've got their Bibles with them. Hopefully they learn by now. When I go on the air, when I go on live stream, it's a Bible study. So Luke 8:11, the Gospel of Luke 8:11 says this. Very short. It says, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God." Yeah, it's the Word of God. So God has given us His Word in seed form. All right?
Yes.
But that's not what we're touching on tonight. We're not touching on that tonight. Number two tonight for introduction is any kind of knowledge revealed to you from or by God Himself is the highest form of knowledge we should ever want, desire, or long for as His children, those who are born of God. One of the reasons that Jesus went to the cross is to get the knowledge of God back onto the earth. The knowledge of God, the will of God. That's one of the key reasons why Jesus went to the cross, okay? To make the knowledge of God known to mankind. Okay?
Amen.
And through the knowledge of God, you have the will of God. I'm going to touch on that. Okay? Through the knowledge of God, you have the will of God. All right. Number three. This is Bible study time, okay? Then we can take some questions if you want. And some comments and things like that. So the knowledge of God carries the will of God. And the will of God carries the knowledge of God, which is why it says that we need to be continually filled with the knowledge of His will. The continually filled, in the Greek, it's the present tense. Okay? With the knowledge of His will, or being continually filled in knowing His will, which is Colossians 1:9-10. We're going to look at that in a couple of minutes. For God has a will in and for all situations that happen on this earth, God has a will. God has a will.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
God has a will. And He transmits that will through the knowledge of that will. Okay?
Amen.
So here's my comment. This is very important here. You will never know what I want or desire until I let you know. If you've got a desire and you never tell me verbally what that desire is, I'll never know what that desire is. If you're at my house, Gabriel, if you're in my house and you're hungry, and you don't tell me that you're hungry, how can I know that you're hungry? How can I know?
Know it.
Until you tell me.
Yes.
Yes.
Until you let me know. Okay? If you're thirsty, you want a drink of water. You want a drink of water. Okay? But you don't tell me. You don't tell me you're thirsty. How am I going to know that you're thirsty until you let me know? Make sense?
Yes.
That's why the knowledge of God is so key in order to know the will of God. And the Bible is full of the knowledge of God. It's full. It's all about the knowledge of God, right? But we're going to look at a different kind of knowledge today. A little bit different kind of knowledge. Okay? So, number four is the word knowledge. The word knowledge carries these other words, like we have the word know. We've got the word known. We've got the word knowing. We've got the word new. All come from the word knowledge. Right?
Yes.
And remember a couple weeks ago, or even last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I said knowledge, the word know in the Greek, carries the idea of intimacy, right?
Yes.
Intimacy, all right? All right, so let's look at some key references here regarding this word knowledge, okay? So let's go back to, we already looked at this verse, but let's go back to Colossians 1, 9 and 10. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. Let's go back to it. You guys got your Bibles there? Colossians 1, 9 and 10. When I give you the verses, go to it right away. Because don't forget, we're live streaming and we're doing a YouTube video too at the same time. So I'm going to start reading it, okay? Colossians 1, verse 9 and verse 10. Colossians 9, it says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge." There's the word knowledge of His will. See? Knowledge of His will. Knowing His will in all wisdom and all spiritual understanding. Or wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives. That's basically what it's saying. All right?
All right.
Let's go down to verse 10. Verse 10. "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in" what? "The knowledge of God." The knowledge of God. So we've got the word knowledge twice in those two verses.
Yes.
That's how much God puts importance on knowing His will. Knowing His will. All right? Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Verse 2. Verse 2. By the time... Okay, verse 2 says... I've got the Amplified here. The Amplified is a little bit better here. It says, "May God's grace, favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitation, passions, and moral conflicts," that's the Amplified, "be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Okay?
Amen.
So according to the Bible here, according to the Amplified, God, it's God's will that we have precise and correct knowledge of God. Precise and correct knowledge of God. Precise knowledge. Precise. and correct knowledge. You know how much knowledge we have out there, even in the church world, that is not precise and correct through false teaching, false interpretations. Paul says, rightly divide the word of truth. Rightly divide it. So if you can, if you have to rightly divide it, that means you can wrongly divide it. So any word of truth that is wrongly divided is not accurate knowledge. It's not precise knowledge. God wants us to operate in precise and accurate knowledge of Him, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the truth. That's the next verse. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2:4. 1 Timothy 2:4. 1 Timothy 2:4. Yeah. 1 Timothy 2:4. I'm reading out of the Amplified again. It says, who wishes all men to be saved and increasingly to what? Perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. Come to the knowledge of the truth, right? Most translation has come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, so let's go to Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Let's go back to Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Chapter 1. Verse 1 to 4.
Chapter 1.
Chapter 1. Verse 1 to 4. At least Alice is laughing. She's smiling. I can see her smiling. Oh, Lydia's smiling now. Okay. I can see you. I can see you. All right. Are you guys there? Are you there?
Yeah, we are there.
Okay, let me read it, okay? Verse 1. Amplified. Since, as is well known, many have undertaken to put in order and draw upon a thorough narrative of the surely established deeds which have been accomplished and fulfilled in and among us. Verse 2. Exactly as they were handed down to us by those who from the official beginning of Jesus' ministry were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, that is, of the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of salvation in the kingdom of God. Verse 3. It seemed good and desirable to me, and so I have determined also, after having searched out diligently and followed all things closely and traced accurately the course from the highest to the minutest detail, from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Verse 4. My purpose is that you may know, or have the knowledge, the full truth, and understand with certainty and security against error the accounts, the histories, and the doctrines of the faith of which you have been informed of and in which you have been orally instructed. This is so powerful. And these first four verses in Luke 1, very powerful. I remember the Lord showed me this years ago when the Lord began to teach me about accuracy of knowledge. Accuracy. As a reformer, I'm a reformer. Okay? Whether people believe it or not, I don't care. I'm a reformer. God has called me to reform the church. And if you're going to be a good reformer, and actually if you're going to be a good bishop, an overseer, episcopal, oversight, you better have accurate knowledge. And even as a pastor, an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, you better have accurate knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
Because that's what you're telling God's people. Okay? So let's move on. Let's move on here. Let's look up the word knowledge. The word knowledge, the main word in the Bible, the Greek word. I'm just going to read it here for live streaming and for also for the video. It's transliteration. It's epignosis. Epignosis. The word gnosis is the word knowledge, but epi means above, so supreme knowledge, okay? It's used. The usage of this word in the Greek, it means knowledge on a particular point, knowledge of faith, knowledge of God, knowledge on healing, knowledge on sin, whatever, directed towards a particular object. It also carries the idea of perception. Perception. Okay? Accurate perception. It even carries the idea of discernment. Discernment. Also, it carries the idea of recognition and intuition. Intuition. Also carries the idea of knowledge gained through first-hand relationship. I love that. First-hand relationship. We're going to touch on that because I just already said that about getting God knowledge directly from God by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, right? I said that previously, right? Yeah.
Yes.
We have access to knowledge directly from God. Okay? I believe in apostles, I believe in prophets, I believe in evangelists, I believe in pastors, I believe in teachers, but I also believe that we can get, most importantly, more above than everything else, knowledge directly from God. Yeah. Okay? From our Father, because He's our Father, right? And also this word, this Greek word, epignosis, also carries the idea of experiential knowledge. Experiential knowing. A knowledge that comes from experience. Okay, we're going to touch on that today. This is a really good teaching. All right? And then lastly, we have precise and correct and accurate knowledge. The Holy Spirit was given to us to give us accurate knowledge of the truth because He's called the Spirit of Truth, right?
Yes.
He's called the Spirit of Truth. He's called the Spirit of accuracy, accurate knowledge of the truth. He's the only one who can give us accuracy of knowledge when it comes to God. He's the only one. Because He's God. He's God. He's not a man that He should lie. He doesn't change. You know, all the Holy Spirit gives is accuracy of truth. That's all He gives us. All right? So now, now this leads us into this next teaching on tongues. We're gonna touch on tongues tonight. All right, the speaking, the importance of speaking and praying in tongues. Can you see that? The importance.
There's the importance of speaking and praying in tongues.
In tongues. Okay, that's what we're gonna look at tonight. All right. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. And while you're turning there, 1 Corinthians 14, yeah. And while you're turning there, I'm going to do a little teaching here, okay? Keep going. 1 Corinthians 14. So, regarding speaking to God and speaking to mysteries, we're going to look at that, which is key to having God reveal His will and its knowledge to you, so that we can be on the very same page as He is, having the very same mind, which is key in walking with Him and walking by faith. You can't walk with God unless you walk by faith. It's impossible. Since the faith of God is rooted in knowing the will of God, in having the mind of God, so that we can not only know what He knows, but also believe what He believes as His children. That's very important right there. To not only know what God knows, but to believe what He believes. We're gonna touch on this, all right?
Yes.
Number B, to know what God knows is tremendous. For us to have knowledge of the Word of God and for having God to speak to us is tremendous. It's tremendous. When I hear the voice of God, to me, it excites me. It's tremendous. But there's something else that's even greater than that, and that is believing what God believes. Believing what God believes, because we should know by now, that the only thing that puts God to work is faith. Faith puts God to work. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith you can't what? Please God. For he who comes to God must what? Must believe that he is? And that he is a what? A rewarder of those who what? Earnestly, diligently seek him out. Right?
Right.
Are you guys hearing me okay over there?
Yes.
Yeah, we are hearing you.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. So now you're at 1 Corinthians 14, right? Let's go to verse 2. Verse 2.
Which book?
1 Corinthians 14. I had you turn there already.
Verse 2, yeah.
Verse 2. So verse 2 says, for one who speaks habitually, the Greek present tense, habitually, in an unknown tongue, speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Spirit he utters secret truth. This is the Amplified. Secret truths and hidden things. Mysteries. The King James has the word mysteries. Not obvious to the understanding. Alright?
Alright.
So, my comment on this is that these secret truths, these hidden things, the mysteries that we're speaking when we're speaking in tongues, they can be eventually manifested in these different forms. And I'm going to give a little list here of how God can manifest himself when you're praying in tongues or after you've prayed in tongues. So first of all, we've got prophetic words. Prophetic words. Prophecies. Okay? Then we've got dreams. I used to get a lot of dreams. I had a dream last night. God gave me a dream last night. I get a lot of dreams because I pray in tongues a lot. That's how God answers my tongues. He gives me dreams. I've had a lot of prophetic words over the years because I pray in tongues a lot. Okay? Also, rhemas. Rhemas. We talked about rhemas last week. Rhemas. Right? Rhemas. Visions. Visions. God will give you an outward vision, or he'll give you an inward vision. I've had a few outward visions. Outside. I've seen something. It lasted for 3-4 seconds, and boom, it was gone. It was an outward vision from the Lord concerning my calling. Also, we have what we call is the still small voice. The still small voice. All right?
Yes.
Then we've got also supernatural divine insights and revelation, when God just starts giving you insight, when God starts teaching you supernaturally. I'm a teacher. I'm a lot of things, but I'm a teacher. So when I pray in tongues a lot of times he'll start teaching me things concerning his word. All right? And the last two, when you're praying in tongues, he'll also give you either inward promptings, or impressions. Promptings or impressions, okay? For your guidance, to lead you, to guide you. A warning, convictions, encouragements, okay? So these are these are some of the operations that you will experience if you pray lots in tongues. Because like I said before, the Bible says that he who habitually prays in tongues, he who prays in tongues basically every day, 7 days a week, you know what I mean? Every day, set some time aside to pray in tongues. Lots of tongues. Alright? Alright.
Amen.
Verse 4, or 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 4, just the first part, part A, it says, he who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself. He edifies himself.
Yes.
Right? We looked at that word a couple weeks ago. Edification, like a building, it builds himself up. Right? So, this is my understanding. This is the comment. Go ahead, David. Comment. This edification comes when these mysteries or these secret truths or these hidden things or are being revealed to you by the list mentioned above. You know, when I hear the voice of God, when I get an instruction from God, when I get an impression, whatever I get from God, if I get a vision, a dream, it edifies me. It builds me up. That's one of the key ways that God edifies. You can edify yourself when you're praying in tongues, and God responds to you praying in tongues, to those tongues that He's praying through you by the Spirit. Then He starts manifesting. He chooses how to do that through one of His operations. You don't choose that. He chooses that. And that brings edification to me. That edifies me. That builds me up. That encourages me.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. So let's keep moving on here. We're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13 to 15. 13 to 15. Okay. 13 to 15. Yeah. So 13 says, therefore, the person who continually speaks in an unknown tongue, that's in the Greek present tense also, should pray for the power to interpret and explain what he says. We touched on this before. I told you I was going to do a review, right?
Yes.
Okay? So when we're praying in tongues a lot, we have the right to pray to God for the explanation or the interpretation. So comment, I wrote here, at times God will supernaturally give you the interpretation or the explanation of what you've been praying in tongues, which is another part of being edified. I've had, at times, I would pray in tongues and I would get the understanding of it in English. And even other times, I would be praying in tongues, and as I'm praying in tongues, I'm getting the interpretation in English coming out of my mouth.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that belongs to us. It belongs to those who pray in tongues a lot, and it belongs to those who ask, who pray for the interpretation according to verse 13. Okay?
Amen.
But you got to ask. You got to pray. Okay? So, verse 14. The next verse after verse 13. It says here, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit, prays within me. But my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. That's the Amplified. That's what Paul says in verse 14. My spirit is fruitful, is productive, but my mind is not productive. Why? Because you're just speaking in tongues. Your mind don't understand what you're saying. Right?
Yes.
So the comment to this is that this is where I learned on how to read the Word as well as listen to the Word on a mini recorder so that my mind can be productive while I'm praying in tongues. Now, this is what I do. Okay? A lot of times now, when I'm praying in tongues, I got my Bible in front of me. I am speaking in tongues and I'm reading the Word with my eyes. Okay? Or,
yes.
Other times, as I'm praying in tongues, I got a little mini recorder here. I've got the Word. I've got the Word on a mini recorder, and I listen to the Word with headphones while I'm praying in tongues. Yeah. It's called multitasking. Multitasking. Multitask. I don't think you got that. Okay. So let's move on here. This is where I read the Word. All right. So verse 15. It says, then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. Okay? So I wrote here for my comment, it is not good enough to pray in tongues all the time, but we need to learn to pray with our mind according to His will, according to His Word. And a big part of this is found in verses such as, Ephesians 6:18. Let's go to Ephesians 6:18. We already looked at this before. I do a lot of reviews. Ephesians 6:18 is part of the armor. It's part of the armor. Right?
Yes.
We looked at this before.
Praying always.
Ephesians 6:18.
Pray
at all times. On every occasion, in every season, in one with in union with the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Okay? So it's very important that we pray in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit means to pray, one, to be one with the Spirit, to pray in union with the Holy Spirit. That means we pray what the Holy Spirit tells us to pray. In English, Swahili, in French, whatever is your natural dialect. We got to pray in union with the Holy Spirit at all times. When you guys get together for prayer, all right? I see this in prayer. I see this in prayer meetings all the time, and it's wrong. You got to go into your prayer meeting knowing beforehand by the Spirit what He wants to pray through you. And if you don't do that, you're basically wasting your time. We got to learn to pray in union with the Holy Spirit according to His mind. We have to learn to do that. Then our prayer meetings are going to be more effective. Much more effective. Okay?
Okay.
So one of the ways that you can have a really effective time of prayer is when you get together, is even praying in tongues. You guys get together for how many hours on Friday nights? How many hours?
From 9 to around 6.
Okay, so that's 9 hours.
9 hours.
Yeah, so I don't know how you guys do this, but it is very important that you would spend some time praying in tongues before you get into praying in Swahili or praying in English.
Yes.
Yeah. Praying lots in tongues to get the mind of God and see what He wants you to pray during this time of prayer.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay? These are just suggestions. You can do whatever you want with it, okay? All right. So my comment here, because Paul taught praying in the Spirit, and he talked about singing in the Spirit also, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So one of the things I wrote here, comment, is that singing in the Spirit, singing in tongues, is something I learned to do while I was at work. I learned to sing in tongues at work. Because when you're at work, and if you're working with non-believers, sometimes they'll look at you funny because you're speaking in tongues and they don't know what you're saying and you don't know what you're saying. Right?
That is true.
Yeah. So I began to learn to sing in tongues and they thought I was singing in French.
Okay.
See? Yeah. Because when I used to just pray in tongues at work, they'd say, "What is that? What that's not English. What language is that?" Well, I said, "I'm not talking to you anyhow, I'm talking to God." And they'd all start laughing at me. And that's fine, that's okay. But I believe that God began to lead me to sing in tongues at work. To sing in tongues at work.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And to them, they thought I was singing in English and French.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so anyhow, that's the end for the study. So go ahead, close up with the live stream. We want to thank you. I just want to close up with the live stream right now.